Welcome back to the DocSF podcast. I'm Dr. Stefano Bini, your host. Today's episode features LeanTAS, a company that has been part of the DocSF journey since the very beginning. Originally known for optimizing scheduling in infusion centers, LeanTAS has since grown into a unicorn startup valued at over $1 billion. Let's return to the DocSF stage to hear about their remarkable journey and how data analytics can drive efficiency and innovation in healthcare operations.
Okay. For those of you that are interested, I'll just jump in and get started. And as others filter in, we can keep the conversation going. I'd love for this to be casual, though, and ask me questions along the way. I have been a part of LeanTAS since 2016 when our journey got started. I was one of the first 20 employees. So I have weathered the storm of not being part of the 95% of startups that fail. So it's been an honor. It's been a privilege. It's also been very exhausting, but I've loved every minute of it. My background is actually, I've spent over 20 years in healthcare operations. I started on the ambulatory side, then the acute setting. So I spent over 10 years running perioperative services and then transitioned into technology. So that was quite a transition for me, being a financial operational background individual, then transitioning into tech. I didn't even know what product market fit was. I didn't know what product management was, you name it. So I've spent the last 8+ years learning about that and learning about scalability and what it takes. So what I want to talk to you about today is a little bit from the perspective of what does it take to succeed, but also show you some interesting things that we are doing at LeanTAS in the space of bringing in more AI to the foundational technology that we started over 10 years ago. Okay, I'm going to start with a little bit of doom and gloom. It's cloudy outside. Don't worry, it's going to get sunny later this afternoon, and it will get sunnier for us in healthcare eventually. But health systems and providers are faced with a tremendous amount of challenges right now. We like to call that the perfect storm. What do I mean by perfect storm? Well, funding, research is being cut, policy changes, workforce challenges, and many other things. Rural health is one, and that's really unfortunate. We're seeing a lot of rural health facilities actually close, and they're not necessarily opening up something down the street for patients to go to, which means patients are driving further and having to work harder for care and or just not getting care. In the surgical side of things, we have all these issues, we have all these challenges, but yet a hospital leader will ask the surgical department to grow revenue every year, spend less on capital and operational expenses, and make sure that you keep thinking about reducing cost. How do you do that? But by the way, surgery is a revenue driver for any organization, period, by far. 60% of revenues in health systems come from surgery. And so hopefully, I'm sure the surgeons that are here today are aware of that, but you play a fundamental role in the health and wellness of the organization. But that department also takes about 60% of the operating budget of any health system. That's a crazy perplexity there. Why do I have this image on the screen? Anyone know? If I walk into any office today, I bet I'll see a lot of paper. I bet I'll hear the phone ring a lot. And I might even hear the word fax mentioned. That's just insane to me. I mean, when I started my career, there weren't EHRs, right? We were charting on paper. Surgical encounters were these little 6x9 cards, and that told us everything that happened in the surgery. Well, that's not today. 20+ years ago, we started using digital technology in the offices, but yet we're still using fax today. So at LeanTAS in the perioperative space, we're focusing a lot on optimization in the rooms, the staff, and the cases. So I'm going to show you two really cool advancements in technology today that center around optimization in rooms, staff, and cases, and leveraging unstructured and structured data. Okay, for anyone in the room that is a part of a startup, for anyone in the room that is a part of funding or supporting technology startups, it takes a lot to be successful. It's really, really hard. I started with LeanTAS in 2016, still as an employee at University of Colorado Health. We started working on this idea of what does it take to transform perioperative services? It was just an idea. And when I began, it was all about product market fit, scalability, do more, make the technology better. What I found was you cannot throw technology over the wall. I'm sure we all would agree to that right now. So it takes a magic formula to be successful. You have to understand the tech. You have to understand the people processes. You have to understand the workflows that you're influencing to truly drive transformation and change. So I'm just going to share with you four concepts that are important to us at LeanToss to be successful, to keep delivering value. And what I mean by successful is not just, yes, is the company being profitable, making money and doing well? No, it's more about value. Are we delivering value in what we are doing and how we are setting up success for organizations that partner with us? So today, our mission and our vision are very simple. We are very, very focused on being intelligent air traffic control for health systems and providers. And I'll talk a little bit more about the upstream in the private practice setting. The mission is, how do we help elevate operational excellence to clinical brilliance? There is no doubt that the United States is a world-class leader when it comes to delivering care in medicine and healthcare, but yet we're still using faxes, phone calls, paper. Our operational throughput policies are absolutely 40 years out of date. We want to focus on assets first. Yeah, we touch a lot of different organizations. We touch a lot of different workflows. But at the end of the day, what are the results? And so in surgical services, we want to help organizations drive more volume, but we also want the quality to be better. So I'll come back to this later. Let's talk about the cool stuff. That's why we're here today, to learn about new innovations and how AI and technology are improving healthcare. Does anyone feel like they live in a perpetual state of drip? Do you even know what I'm talking about when I say drip? Every day of my life, I feel very data rich and information poor. I've got data everywhere. Everywhere I turn, my watch is telling me every 5 minutes to get up and relax and breathe and all those things. Same with healthcare. We've got data everywhere, but what do we do with that? What are the insights? How can we become information rich? Well, part of the challenge is our information lives everywhere. And some other folks today have talked about the connectivity. This is the world of unstructured and structured data. We have structured data in certain parts. We have unstructured data. This is where AI does a lot for us. And we're seeing a tremendous amount of movement in marrying the unstructured and the structured data together. This is something we're really proud of spending a lot of time on and seeing some great advancements at LeanToss. I'm going to give you two examples of using AI to marry unstructured and structured data and what those outcomes can look like. So take, for example, contribution margins. CFOs of healthcare practices, of hospitals, they look at this every day and it tells them, oh, Department of Orthopedics or Department of Neurosurgery has X on their contribution margin. Fantastic. So what? Okay, let's look at each case. Let's look at each surgery. Let's look at each provider. Great, we have more and more information. What do we do with it? How do we make decisions? Unfortunately, decisions are not really made with this data marrying into the operational data of performance. So I challenge you to think about how you would answer these questions, or a health system that you might partner with, for those providers in the room, to answer the questions around revenue, around contracts, and around capital purchasing. How do we know where to focus growing service lines? Where should we double up, double down? Working in a hospital for well over 15 years, I have many use cases of providers coming to me and saying, hey, do you have any idea what my margins are for the hospital? Great, then get me more block time. Do you understand my impact on this organization? Great, help me bring in that new button. Help me tell the story and put together the business case. This is a struggle. It was a struggle for me as a financial analyst as I began my healthcare career, but it's still a struggle. AI can help us bridge that gap. So I'm going to show you a video right now of actually what's live today. It can be used in a private practice office. It can be used in a hospital. It was co-developed through our partnership with Duke Health. So LeanToss is very, very specific on, let's not develop things in a silo or in a vacuum. Let's do that with partners. Let's do that with physicians, clinicians, and healthcare organizations to drive operational change. All right, so let's look at what this can look like. In our platform, we actually have a chat functionality, similar to ChatGPT, Perplexity, whatever. You can put in a question, ask a question, and it will analyze various data sets. In this example, we're analyzing financial data with operational data performance. So the first question is, what service lines should we focus growing our business? In the background, what we're doing is analyzing both the external and the internal data to look at per case and per OR, what is the direct contribution margin by service lines? Here's another fun one. Should we move cases to an ambulatory surgery setting? Should we keep them in the hospital? And why? What's the financial impact on that? I work with a lot of hospitals today that are working on this problem right now. They don't know how to answer it. How about this? Where are we missing billing and coding? What procedures have we done where we actually didn't submit a sedation charge? And should we probably have done that? Here, for example, we were able to flag 13 cases that actually were submitted for billing and were missing moderate sedation in that. That ability to now bridge that gap between those that are putting in our coding, submitting our bills, and our providers to bring that awareness to them is gold, and it is the future. Here we're looking at payer mix increases or declines by procedure and by provider. So, and my favorite one, who should get more block time? This usually ends up happening from either the loudest voice in the room or the strategic drive of the organization. Shouldn't we do that in a more data-driven approach? Yes. That last example is about write-offs. Where were we seeing the most avoidable write-offs? So at Leitas, we're again taking in both unstructured and structured data. We typically connect with EMRs. So we're focused on the interaction that is happening at the health system within Epic, Cerner, Meditech, et cetera. But then we also work with payer data. We also work with financial data of the health system, which lives somewhere else. So that's one example of kind of leveraging AI to improve operations from a financial aspect. Let's look at another one. I was just having a great conversation around patient preparedness, patient prep. What are we doing to ensure that our patients are ready for surgery? Now, this can be applied to a pre-anesthesia testing clinic or the preoperative space in a hospital. It also can be applied to the practice. So let's look at the elements that we're using to approach better preparedness for patients. One is case coordination. Do we have good visibility and orchestration into who has been identified for surgery, what needs to happen, what steps have taken? Fun fact, 35% of patients today that are identified as needing surgery are either mismanaged or don't end up getting their surgery. That's a lot. Two, let's tap into the HIEs, the QHINs, so that we can get all of the associated data. So someone earlier today was talking about using AI to do chart summaries, et cetera. That's one aspect. Let's bring in the external and the internal data. This data, HIE data and QHINs, has been under-tapped for over a decade. It's been there, it's been accessible, but nurses, providers, et cetera, who's going to flip through 60 pages on one patient? Then use that to build risk-based pathways. Okay, should this patient for this procedure have a cardiac clearance, not just because we typically do for that procedure, but based on the presentation of the patient. And then the introduction of agents. So we have introduced clinical call agents in both the private practice setting and hospitals. We're focused on low risk to start with. And I'll be more specific about where that is, low risk. It's more in patient preparedness, med reconciliation, surgical information, what time is it starting, et cetera. Those are all calls that today, I would bet, a team member in your practices or clinicians in hospitals are spending time doing that is not helping our clinicians operate top of license. I like this image because this definitely represents me when I need to make a phone call about my cell phone bill or my credit card bill. I just want to beat up the robot and hit zero to talk to someone. And I'm sure that we're all a little bit skeptical of the use of agents or augmented calling to patients for healthcare and for procedures, et cetera. I want to show you the good news, though, of what we're actually seeing in the studies that's happening. Here's an example of Oregon Health and Sciences is one of our health system partners. They were one of our first to go live with bringing in agent calling for preoperative services and the use of that augmentation in pre-anesthesia testing. It's hard to read. What you're looking at here is a list of patients that are scheduled for surgery. What we're trying to identify are who are the ones that we could assign a call to, and do we actually want to assign it? So at Oregon Health and Sciences, they're actually having a nurse assign, yes, go ahead and make a call or send a text, et cetera. So I'm going to play a video here and you're going to see The nurse is sorting, and it is typically a nurse that's doing this, sorting the list of surgeries, looking at the risk status, whether or not they're scheduled, whether or not they've been approved. They're assigning a phone call. And at Oregon, the phone calls are taking place in the evening. After the phone call, the nurse can then either see a summary and or have a summarization of the next steps. I'm going to play a little excerpt so you can actually hear what it sounds like.
I'm your OHSU healthcare team's AI assistant. I'm calling to make sure you're ready for your surgery. Do you have time to chat now?
Yeah, this is perfect.
Great. This call should only take about 5 to 10 minutes. How's your day going so far?
So far, so good. How's yours, computer?
I'm doing well. Your procedure is on Thursday, October 9th, and your arrival time is 9 a.m. You should be at the Center for Health and Healing Building 2, also called CHH2. Check in at the first floor central check-in desk. Do you have any questions about where to arrive?
So that's the building next to the building Ortho Clinic is in, right? Where I have a pre-op visit.
I'm going to hit pause there. So it goes on and on. So just also for reference, while we are developing our own agents at LeanTOS, we also are agent agnostic. So we have a third-party partner who has done over 5 million patient calls to date. Currently, the preoperative calls, we've tested 5 different calls and or launched 5 different calls, I should say, have been tested on 300,000 patients. The completion rate is almost 80% of these phone calls getting completed. The escalation rate is less than 2%. So less than 2% of the time, these calls are needing to be escalated to talk to someone live, which, by the way, they're always performed when they can be escalated to a nurse or a clinician live in the moment. I think that's astounding to see that happening. Also, the engagement is anywhere between 5 and 9 minutes. But an agent will stay on the phone for an hour if a patient has questions and they're being engaged with them. So Oregon, as you could see and hear, they have chosen to say your AI assistant. So they're being forthcoming. We've done a lot of partnerships with other studies on what does engagement mean? How can we see positive engagement, negative engagement, and studying that with them? It's been very exciting to watch that. So again, I already talked about this, but after the fact, we can then look at essentially what I was going to show you in a quick video is it'll summarize the key next steps. So the nurse can click on all of those and see are there next steps. It can also be sorted by next steps. So the time that they're spending now on using the clinical knowledge that they have to ensure that the patients that need that extra follow-up is happening has been escalated or really expanded 100x. Now, this is also being used in private practice offices. Okay, here you go. You can see the follow-up here and the summarization. So I'm working specifically in orthopedics a lot because there's so many preparedness things that need to happen, clearances, testing, all of those things for surgery. So I'm working a lot with private practices and orthopedics to not only initiate these phone calls, but also text messages to patients where they can engage back and forth in a text with the office to ensure that their surgery is ready. So again, my recommendation is when you're ready to begin this journey, start in the low-risk setting. Follow a model that can be repeated and iterated on. We follow INFER. So first, we're going to institutionalize it, make sure that we're following all AI respective councils and planning and security clearances that we need with an organization. We're very specific on where we first want to pilot, operate, and then how do we monitor and detect failures? What do we do? What are the follow-ups to that? And then how can we iterate and socialize? These are some examples of escalations we have had at Oregon, at Duke, at others. We do have other connections. Is it going to go to a live nurse there in the moment? Is a patient exhibiting potential self-harm? And should we actually connect into the National Suicide Hotline Prevention for that patient right then? So those are just a few examples of different ways to think about escalations and apply them and then monitor outcomes. So that was really it. These are the 6 areas of phone calls. Again, can be applied to physician practices, hospitals. I thought it might be interesting to show you those 2 key areas that we've been focusing on at LeanTOS, really bringing in more AI. So both on the financial aspect, as well as the patient and clinical preparedness. But that's all I got. Thank you.
You remember you've come a long way, is that ad I was trying to think about. It's amazing. It wasn't even the extent that what really blew my mind is the UI interface where you can actually ask that question. Hey, wait a minute. Are we making money or losing money on this particular line item, service line? Or your robotic surgeon, that would be me, Lena. So you can actually come back and say, you know, you got to work on this or not. That was really a really practical use of the technology. So how many hospitals are you in now?
1,200 hospitals and cancer centers, 200 health systems, and about 100, between 100 and 150 private practices. That's one of our newest innovations.
How do you keep it cost effective for private practices?
Well, for private practices, what we're monitoring today are, one, fallout. Are you actually increasing your surgeries and your patients? And how do we monitor if your patients that were identified as needing surgery actually follow through to surgery? That's one of the easiest ROIs that we actually work on today.
We hope you found that presentation inspiring, a perfect example of analytics in action. Next week, we kick off our Startups We Love series, highlighting some of the most promising companies in orthopedics.